This is NBA Sound System, and our question is, how did Las Vegas, Nevada become the basketball center of the universe each year in July?
Two teams in a gym in the summer, not exactly new, but the location made a difference. So much so that even USA Basketball recognized this was a pretty interesting area to locate.
The founder of Las Vegas Summer League is a true connector, known as the broker of happiness, Warren Legarry, an agent who specializes in representing NBA coaches. He seized upon the opportunity to build something that has grown into a full-fledged festival of hoops in the desert, starting in 2004 when Vegas Summer League was born. So, why Las Vegas?
You know, looking back, we sometimes ask ourselves the same question. Clearly, we were drawn to here. I don't know if it was like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where we just felt this mystic connection here, but somehow we were, in the old days, I worked a lot of European basketball, and a lot of the players, in order to not avoid but not have to pay state taxes, would set up residence here since they were abroad for most of the year. So this became an easy place for them. Plus, the Running Rebels had set up the idea that this was a basketball city. And there were a lot of, you know, some high school tournaments going on because this was an easy place. They were just starting to build gyms. And we were doing what was essentially becoming the foreshadowing of the GERD camp, which has become a big deal with a lot of the NBA people that we do in August.
And so, you know, the GERG camp is an under-the-radar Las Vegas tradition for the tricks of the trade, a high-level individual skills camp by invitation led by Tim Gergrich, a player development guru who, among many NBA coaching stops, was also a longtime assistant for Tark at UNLV.
So my coaches kept killing me. Look, we're out here. We're tired of traveling all around the country. Can't we just centralize this and this would be a good place? You know, and I got kind of pushed into it, and I kind of thought, you know what, it'll make it easier for me to also connect with my clients and have a place that, you know, we can call our own. And so I pushed the NBA, you know, I was stalking David, true, and I finally was granted a, you know, sort of a, at the All-Star game in Los Angeles, a number of years, when Beyonce sang, that All-Star game, and he granted me an audience for 5 minutes. 20 minutes later, he directed me to Stu Jackson, and then eventually they gave us permission to do it here.
Now, these NBA Summer League games, featuring mostly rookies, second-year players, and undrafted free agents, can be seen live on ESPN and NBA TV for well over a week in what culminates with a full bracketed tournament and a championship game at the Thomas & Mack Center on the campus of UNLV. There have long been summer leagues for pros, but in Vegas, this is becoming something like South by Southwest for basketball with a dash of TED Talks and some Burning Man thrown in.
My life is summer league. I'm not in this business because of my initial overseas, so I literally had to go to every summer league to scout talent, to work, you know, to find the overseas teams and which places they were going. So one of the things that I was noticing, or at least hearing, was all the things they didn't like about those summer leagues, the things that didn't connect them, the things that they were missing. And it was like, oh man, here we go again and stuff. And you could feel the flatness of it. There was just no connection to what they're doing, other than you saw the games, and then after that, nothing. And I knew that people had curiosity. They want to get better. You could see people at night when they did get together, they talked basketball. They watched basketball all day. They talked it. So they're hungry. Hungry to get better at the game, hungry to learn new things. So one of the things I started listening to was what people didn't want. And so once we started, we avoided the things that crippled the other leagues. But at the same time, you could see they were hungry to learn stuff, and I want to learn stuff. So we did an enrichment program. It was the first thing that we ever did. And the target was the young executives and young coaches who aren't quite on the bench yet, but you're sort of shaping their world, their philosophy. And it started off modestly. Our first year was like 30 or 40 kids showed up, and you know, we got an interest, but we started introducing technologies. We started introducing, motivational speakers about how they came through this. We brought in different segments just so that these kids would think outside of their own proverbial box and to look at it. One year we had Peter Guber come in and talk. I was floored by what. I still use some of the things he said. And this one year we had an enrichment program on leadership. And for our organizational leader, we had Jerry Colangelo. I'm still pinching myself. Jerry Colangelo is bigger than life to us. We had Arne Tellem on player leadership. And we had Kurt Goldsberry, who was like the rock star of analytics, talking about analytic leadership, where the responsibility of giving coaches what they have to hear as opposed to what you think they want to hear. So these are things that we keep adding, and people respond to it, and so we're encouraged to keep doing it because there's a hunger there for it.
How have you seen Las Vegas evolve over the past several years that we've seen Summer League and now USA Basketball here in such a strong presence?
Look, we're modest people. We don't want to take credit for too many things. Clearly, putting two teams in a gym in the summer, not exactly new, but the location made a difference. So much so that even USA Basketball recognized this was a pretty interesting area to locate, because they were talking about in Glendale, Arizona. But they realized this provides a harmonic convergence of all things basketball. So in a way, we foreshadowed the All-Star Game and USA Basketball, because they realized this is becoming the center of the basketball universe in the summertime. So those are the things that certainly were a byproduct of our trying to put a little gym in the sun here, extra outside, keep the air conditioning on for people, and give them something they were looking for, terrific basketball.
This is NBA Sound System, and as we look at how Las Vegas has become the center of the basketball universe each year in July, we think about the influence of USA Basketball. Jerry Colangelo, a legendary figure in pro sports, has been dedicated to making sure that USA Basketball is the gold standard in international competitions. He was part of the decision to make Vegas the home of training camp for the U.S. men's national team competing in the Olympics.
Las Vegas represents a location during the summer that players are willing and happy to come to because of all the opportunities here. And so we kind of selected it back in 2005 as a future home for USA Basketball, and it's worked out extremely well. It's actually the basketball capital of the country during July with AAU basketball, with the Summer League, with USA Basketball. Anyone in basketball is usually here, you know, looking at hoops, and it doesn't get much better than that.
Las Vegas, like New Orleans, is a city that's its own thing, and it's always evolving. Vegas used to be more like this. Now it's become a bit more like this, with some day drinking out by a pool. They used to lure folks to Vegas with perks like Lost Leader prime rib buffets. Now bartering access and creating exclusivity is a big part of a game that is diversified into a sprawling nightclub scene, as not just EDM, but all kinds of genres are represented, with major artists setting up residencies. Why tour when they can and will come to you? And when they do, chilled malls with Starbucks at airport prices fill the gaps between the casino hotels, where rewards cards track your gaming preferences, with the rewards typically representing quicker access to the buffets and taxi lines. Yet, if you walk out along the strip, you're soon face to face with characters that pretty much only pop up in Times Square. It's just that these minions and Elmos are doing work fully costumed in 110-degree heat. You get the feeling it's the America that people on the other side of the globe imagine America must be, and so they flock to Las Vegas. But vacationers are not exactly who you'll find at the Thomas & Mack Center during NBA Summer League. In the business of basketball, this is a work trip where everyone is looking for that competitive edge.
You got to get smarter. That's our business. The teams that are doing well, yes, luck is a part of this. It's usually because they're smarter, because they've utilized tools. They may be available to other people, but they've learned how to use them better. We also have a cap study going on here. Cap is going to be probably as big, if not the biggest weapon in the upcoming years, with the kind of money that's going around. Teams that don't know how to manage their cap and project it out over a number of years, or teams that are going to back themselves into corners.
Warren Legarry's sheer force of personality is one of the keys to the true sense of community built at Summer League. Both he and Albert Hall are nonstop on the go during games running the show. But the influence in shaping a deeper conversation has expanded to lecture rooms on campus, as industry professionals from various sports business disciplines are now taking part in a full slate of seminars as part of the Sports Business Classroom program running concurrently with Summer League. Noted NBA cap expert Larry Kuhn takes part in organizing this learning experience, deep diving into the finer points of basketball business.
The Summer League is all about opportunity. Obviously, opportunity for the players because they're getting a chance to be seen and coached. But it goes way beyond that. It goes to the referees who are getting a chance, to coaches, to new rules, to new equipment that they're trying out. And this is just another branch of that. This is making the game better through making the people in the game better, and the front offices are the target of this. So we have different tracks. We have different majors. We have the salary cap, so the business of basketball. We have broadcast. We have social and branding, which is a huge market. And of course, the nitty-gritty of basketball, we have scouting, video, and analytics.
So when it comes to the salary cap or the collective bargaining agreement, what can you teach a student in a seminar setting?
You can give them a lot, but the main thing I want to give them is a feel for the spirit of that agreement, how it really impacts the league. The league is the game of basketball first and foremost, but after that, it's a sport. It's a competition between 30 franchises. People out there are fans of a team, and they want to know what that team can do to get better. Can they make this trade? Can they make this deal? And these are the rules of that game.
His extremely detailed work on the topic can be found online at cbafaq.com. And when you go there and see the extent to which everything is covered, you might wonder this.
What's your background and how did you get into something so specific but now so important centered around the NBA?
Yeah, that's an odd story. I'm actually a computer scientist. And I have no legal training. I have no basketball background. In fact, I like to say I have too much respect for the sport to denigrate it by touching a basketball myself. But I have a love for the game, a love for the sport. I grew up in LA looking at guys like Jerry West, who, after being a player and then a coach, went into the front office. And it's kind of, okay, your idol's doing this now. What's he going to do? And he had such success, and you want to see what happens with him. I grew up listening to the Lakers. My dad came over in 1960 when the Lakers did, and that was the constant background of my life. I like to say I learned the game listening to Chick Hearn. And it was just natural for me, with my curiosity, with everything that I like to read, to figure out, okay, well, what do teams do here? What are they able to do? And I was frustrated. I wasn't finding the answers. And after being frustrated, after looking around, after not seeing anything, I decided I would become the guy to figure this out and get it down on paper.
Leaving Las Vegas is often bittersweet. It's time to go home. But it sure was fun being there to share the stories behind the history of NBA Summer League in Las Vegas. That's all for this time. 123, Larry Kuhn. Thanks for being part of NBA Sound System.